Good evening, everyone. My name is Carol Hinderly. I'm one of the directors at Holden, and I'm very happy to announce the arrival of a number of people today, and also to, I think I'll give a few announcements first. All right.
How about that?
We do have some hikers who have not signed in. Would you like to volunteer to... Would you like to tell me already that you're here? So, okay, Stacy, I see you all over there. And Nadine, okay, great. And the Agard family? Okay, I think that's what it says here. There's the pen wasn't very good, so I'm not sure. Matt and Jan and, are you all here? People who went to Copper Basin? Are you here? Okay, all right, just want to make sure. We don't want to miss out on the chance to go look for you if somebody's lost. This evening, let's see, Sarah from Lodge 4 lost her house keys and car keys. So if you see those, that would be an important thing to return to the piano in the dining hall so that she can eventually find her way home. Also, we need 3 volunteers for the snack bar tonight. Now, what that means is you get to scoop ice cream for a while, meet a lot of people, and then eat about as much as you can possibly eat. So, 3 people. Who would like to volunteer? Okay, one here. And right over there. Okay, you two. Wonderful. Just show up in the snack bar. One more thing is that we have a special a session tonight with Philip from Nepal. Philip, can you tell me your last name? Because I can never quite pronounce it. What? Okay, you heard it. Anyway, Philip has been with us for several weeks now. Is it, how many months? 2 months? 2 months and 1 week. And 1 month and 1 week. Anyway, it seems like you've been part of the family for so long. And Philip has an amazing ministry in Kathmandu, and he will be showing some pictures and talking about his ministry and the orphanage that ministry has brought into being in Koinonia Fireside after Vespers. Okay, people coming in today. From Columbia, Maryland, please stand when I read your name, and then we'll have a round of applause to welcome all of you once you're all standing. From Columbia, Maryland, Randy McGinnis. Karen Annika, Elise McGinnis, also Greta Swanson from Columbia. From Clearbrook, Minnesota, Joanne Papke and Jim Papke. And from Beniji, Andrew Papke Larson. Also from Clearbrook, Minnesota, Nelson Papke and Ivor Papke. And from Bemidji, Emily Papke Larson, Anna, Alicia, and Eliza. From Bemidji also, Linnea Papke Larson and Mark Papke Larson. This looks like, to me, sounds to me like a family reunion, is that right? Okay. From Portland, Oregon, Cleone Hawkinson. From Seattle, Washington, Dave Green and Ann Green. From Bellevue, Washington, Gerald Hart and Judy Hart. From Renton, Washington, our own Larry Johnson. And also from Renton, Karen Knight and Joyce Simister. Federal Way, Washington, Mark and Tony Kutsiemba. Wow, I'm grateful. From Renton, Millie Olden and Hannah Warmenhaven. From Pullman, Washington, Tor Swanson and Dorothy Swanson. From Renton, Gary and Lois Telford. From Wausau, Wisconsin, Nita Lagerman. And from St. Paul, Minnesota, Lucy Forrester Smith and Tom Forrester Smith. From Shoreline, Washington, Lisa Johnson, Aaron Redd, and Kenneth and Muriel. Is there anyone I missed? Well, welcome to Holden. Thank you. Thank you for coming. And tomorrow, sadly, we also lose some villagers. So if you are going out tomorrow, please stand. We'll pray together. But we know that you're not going far. Once you're here, once you come off the bus, you are Holden, and we are all community together. Let's pray. Amazing God, you have called us your children, and that's what we are. You've made us different, each of us with our own unique gifts, and so much to offer each other. And so you've given us so many amazing brothers and sisters. Thank you for these sisters and brothers you've brought together with all of us here. Be with them as they go out. Help them to bring the renewal and refreshment that they experience here out into their lives. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for being with us always. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll open tonight's Vespers with 741 from the Blue Book with one voice. 741, Thy Holy Wings.
A reading from St. Matthew.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Here the reading ends.
Bye. Grace and peace to you from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. This evening it's our privilege to focus on Jesus' words of promise, "Lo, I am with you always," the theme for this summer at Holden. As I prepared to address this theme this evening, I could not help but think that this is the second time I focused on this at Holden. Allow me to share a bit about the first time, for it is one of my more vivid memories of this place. Several years ago, I was a first-time summer teaching staff person, and it was early in June, and the village was just filling with guests, and I was a very nervous first-time presenter, and I had a series of five discussions on the relationship of the spirituality of 12-step recovery programs and the practice of the Christian faith. Well, with great relief, the first three sessions went reasonably well. And by Thursday, I was looking forward to the fourth one, which shared our theme. The title of that session was, "You Are Not Alone Anymore." I was all prepared, and I recall ringing the bell on the ark and going over to Koinonia, and no one ever came. I want to thank you for coming tonight. But to be alone is not generally a laughing matter. And when I speak about being alone, I speak not of solitude, which can be healing, but of people in isolation, the multitudes of people known and unknown to you and me, the people that the Beatles sang about in Eleanor Rigby. A haunting melody with more haunting words. Ah, look at all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? Oh, look at all the lonely people. Where do they all belong? What about all these lonely people? Where do they belong? What about people who we also sing about in that Finnish Advent hymn with these words? Lost in the night do the people yet languish, longing for morning, the darkness to vanquish. Plaintively heaving a sigh full of anguish, will not day come soon, will not day come soon. How does Jesus' promise speak to these lonely ones? Disconnected, separated, alone, and in our time, sometime in the midst of a large crowd, feeling totally isolated. Who knows what's in the heart of the person sitting right behind you? Are they one of Rigby's lonely people? We live in a time and in a culture which is becoming increasingly more individualistic over the last generations. Craig Van Gelder, in his book, The Missional Church, proposes that now, with the erosion of community, individualism is not so much a choice that people have as a condition forced on them. Oddly enough, Ingmar Bergman, 50 years ago, got his hand on our culture in his film, The Seventh Seal. And it's a story about a solitary knight playing chess with death for his life. And when one of the fellow characters asked Death why he looks so tired and unhappy, the knight replies, "I've been traveling in dull company lately, alone." It would seem that Jesus' promise to be with us always is precisely the promise a disconnected, lonely people need to embrace. But what does it mean when Jesus says, "I am with you always"? Couldn't it be that such a promise is a threat and could be conceived as a threat? Especially to those not familiar with Jesus as divine stalker. Every move you make, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Admit it. The prospect of believing that Jesus is with you always could be frightening. Is Jesus there all the time? Even when I'm taking a shower? Does Jesus know what's going on in my mind right now? In my ministry, I have overheard more than once these words. Oh, here comes Pastor Homer. Now, if a mere mortal can elicit such a response, who would like to live with Jesus all the time? But I don't believe this is what Jesus has in mind with his promise, I will be with you always. For one thing, this promise is not primarily about individuals. It's not a Jesus and me thing. It's important to hear this promise in its context. First, this promise is made to disciples. It's a plural you, this promise is made to. And secondly, the context is in the giving of the commission, the Great Commission, as we know it. Go and make disciples. Earlier in his gospel, Matthew points out that when Jesus says, whenever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And this is a call to recall and remember that Christian faith and the practice of it is never a solitary enterprise or activity. When we affirm that we belong to God, we belong to a family, to a people. Paul reminds us, we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Not only our identity is a we identity, Jesus' promise to be with us is directly connected to the mission of making disciples. Now that sounds a little strange. In a time when folks want to freely choose and are wary of anybody imposing their values upon them, or imposing values upon another, the notion of making disciples sounds almost violent. But what are we really talking about here? In Greco-Roman times, a disciple was someone who sat at the feet of a teacher. A disciple was someone who willingly sat to learn, even eventually embody, the discipline that the teacher was offering. By and large, disciples do so willingly and gladly. Jesus says, I will be with you always when you are about the business of bringing people into my presence. And we cannot and should not ever conceive of this, of some strategy of winning conversions. But we are called to abide in Jesus' word. To such a degree that his love, Jesus' hope, Jesus' welcome, lives in and through us. The admonition to preach the good news and use words if necessary is certainly operative in our effort to fulfill this commission to make disciples. In conclusion, let us consider two more qualities of our mission to make disciples. The first is this. For a long time, we have heard this commission, go and make disciples, with a big emphasis on the go. And it seemed to the degree to which the farther one went to spread the good news, that was the biggest missionary of all, the farther one went. But the truth of the matter may indeed be this. When Jesus gives us a task to make disciples, that the greatest and most compelling mission field is that which is closest at hand. Are we ready to conceive as our responsibility to welcome the lonely, stressed out people sitting next to us tonight in this room right now? Are we to consider that Jesus' promise is connected to a commission that is also frightening? We're no longer called to ask, what would Jesus do? But the tables have been turned. We need to be listening, or are called to be listening to what Jesus' haunting questions about what Peter or John or Mary, indeed, what I am going to be doing about all the lonely people and where they really need to belong. We have learned at Jesus' feet to welcome strangers. Look around. Are there enough strangers to go around in this room? People have said to me as recently as this morning, you know, it's hard to be a pastor. You're on call all the time. Well, I've got some good news and some challenging news for you Lutherans. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. Now, that's a challenge. All the time, you say, making disciples? But remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, lo, I am with you always in this mission to help you do it. Amen. We'll continue tonight with singing of our hymn, Be Thou My Vision, 776. May the peace of God in Christ Jesus guard and keep your hearts. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.